sown. Yeah, here you are. So as for the one that was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, a hundredfold. Listen to this. Amazing. So it's 100%. In another 60, and in another 30. Okay. So we're talking about a parable that Jesus has shared with the disciples. He has explained it to them. We know how it works with, there you are. You know how it works with stories. As we try to explain to other people, you know, a difficult concept, it's easier to always tell a story, to tell, you know, a story that will make more sense and more applicable to people. And just to illustrate that, normally in a sermon, whenever you get to fall asleep, I start to tell a story and then immediately you snap into it, okay? I can see your eyes, you know, you're listening again. So one of, the secrets of preaching is to tell a story whenever you lose the people that you are talking to. So this morning I'll tell a few stories as well, just to make sure that you are focused. This is what Jesus did. He was busy telling stories so that the people could basically relate to it and then decide. If the shoe fits, then you change your life. So many times he actually told these parables to the Pharisees and Sadducees because they could relate and understand that Jesus was actually addressing it to them. Okay, so Jesus did not directly speak to them, but in telling the story, he was revealing some secrets of the kingdom, which then made sense to them. So this is the same time with the disciples. Jesus is now spending time with them. He's explaining it to them. And first of all, he mentions the field. Okay, that there's a field, and we know that the field, because of a lot of symbolism that we also pick up in the rest of the Bible, is the world. It gives us a picture of what the world is at. And then the seed, which is the word of God. I've mentioned it before in this church that it's also the gospel, the good news, the word of the reign of God in our lives, the good news of God being the Lord over our lives. So when it speaks of the word or the seed, it speaks of the word and how it transforms our lives. And this is what Jesus is busy explaining. So it's strange how we would go through much length to actually explore how to unlock hearts, how to unlock other people's, you know, emotions and, you know, these five love languages and all kinds of, especially if you're in love, you know, you try to do it as best as you can. And even if you're not in love and you try to get back into love, you make sure to figure out what blessed the other person in order to penetrate the heart, to speak to the heart. So this is Jesus explaining that the heart is, you know, the place of the soil, the preparedness for the gospel to reach it and to actually penetrate it. Now, I know how it works. You know, as a preacher, you normally prepare and you believe that God is really going to penetrate hearts. He's going to make, you know, a big impact in people's lives. And you trust that on that Sunday, the right person will, hear the right word and it will transform them. And then soon to discover, you know, they tell you, oh, but we never speak about these things in church. You know, it's strange, Pastor. And then you think, but I just last weekend spoke about these things, and didn't you listen? So something is wrong, you know. And this is what Jesus is talking about. There's a place where the word can be as pure as it can be, but unless the soil is ready to actually receive it and to make it part of your life, you will never be able to transform. And so why are people receiving the same word differently if it is the same word? You know, if it's the same truth and it's the, uncontaminated, truthful word of God. Now, we know that the word of God is powerful. Are we at least in agreement on that? Whenever God spoke the word, things happen. Okay, by the speaking of the word, just made heavens and earth. You know, whenever Jesus made certain proclamations, even the day when he announced that the Messiah is here, it's big, you know, announcements that was made that had an impact in eternity. So we know that Jesus is also the Word, and that Jesus came to this earth to fulfill the Word, the truth. And the amazing thing of it is that we sometimes forget how powerful the Word really is in our lives. We forget how powerful it is when it really penetrates us. The problem is, why do we listen to it? And some of us would sit here even this morning and we would hear different parts of the same word, and it will change some a little and some more. And this is what Jesus is busy explaining, because there's definitely a difference between hearing the word and doing whatever it says. Are we in agreement with that this morning? There's a place where you and I must understand that it's one thing to listen and to, you know, to be very excited when we walk out of this door. The problem is that something snatches away the effect of that word when we get to the car or to the bus or to the tube or somewhere as we navigate ourselves back to home. And on Monday morning, we totally forgot what happened with the word in our lives. Is it not true? And this is what Jesus is speaking about. He's saying that, listen, the word is pure and it's powerful and it can transform lives. But unless you and I take ownership of it and make it part of our lives, it will not have the effect that is needed. And so we see through history even, you know, the potential that the word as the seed has in people's lives. Now, let's just get back to the seed this morning. The seed is amazing and it's got all the potential to become a big tree or an amazing fruitful harvest. But unless that seed goes to the ground, dies, and then starts to germinate and become, you know, the plant or the tree that it's supposed to be, it will never produce fruit. Are we once on all on the same page with that? So for you and I, we can even experience the miracles of God. And we've seen this in the Bible. Many people have seen the miracles of Jesus in the times that Jesus lived. But they still, that word did not transform them. Why not? Does this mean that the word is not pure? That the word is not amazing? No, the soil needs to change in order for that seed to germinate and to have the effect that it's needed. So if the seed is not multiplying, there's something wrong with the... Okay, the soil. Okay, something must happen with the soil in order for it to let the seed germinate. And so, you know, this means that we must allow the word of God not just to be part of our lives and to be the truth, but we must make sure that against cultural norm, we must decide that that is the ultimate truth in our lives, and that when God says it, it will be performed. Are you with me this morning? It also means that even if nothing change around us, we need to trust that the word would be fulfilled if God speaks it into our lives. And that has the potential to become a big fruitful tree in our lives. So how can we be more fruitful? And this is what Jesus is speaking about, is we need to cling tightly to the word, for the enemy will snatch it away. Now, I want to quickly, if we have the PowerPoint, do we have it already? Not. I need that PowerPoint very urgently. If you guys can help me with that. But for the different conditions of the heart, I want to just this morning, you know, just trust that you're going to listen to this and not think about somebody else that you can categorize and that you can actually think, oh yeah, that's where this person is at. Because it's strange how we even compartmentalize ourselves, is that the word? Ourselves in even some areas of our lives. You know, it's, we've got this church box, we've got this work box, we've got, you know, our social life, we've got, you know, even our the way in which we interact in discipleship with people. There's different areas in our lives that we need to examine this morning when we start to think about the soil, in order to examine ourselves and start to grow in the areas of preparing the soil so that the seed can transform us. Are you with me? So there's a little box that I quickly want to just explain. So there's four types of soil that we spoke about. The one is along the path. So what happened? It was devoured. What caused that to be devoured? The hardness of heart. No understanding. Okay? So the Bible says there's a hardness of heart. There's no understanding. And so the enemy comes in, snatch it away. He devours it. Okay? How? It says in Luke, it explains the same parable. And it even says that it was trampled underfoot. Or then sin in our lives. Okay, and we'll get back to that one. The second one is rocky ground. So this morning, I want to really ask you to examine your hearts in the different areas even of your life, because I'm trusting God to really bring healing in some areas of our lives. The rocky ground. What happened to the rocky ground? Or to the seed? It was scorched. What was the cause? There was no depth and no root in the seed being laid in the ground. How? It was exposed through testing, persecution, and tribulation. And then thirdly, the one of the thorns. And the thorns allowed the seed to grow, but then it starts to take the nutrients, and we spoke about it the last time as well, and it started to choke. What was the cause of it? Double-mindedness. Okay? How did it happen? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, and not putting God first. Fourthly, is the good soil. What happened? It produced 30, 60, or 100-fold. And what was the cause of it? A yielded heart. How did it happen? The person listened, yielded, was pliable, and transparent. So let's get into these areas of our lives. And first of all, when we look at the conditions of the heart, it speaks about along the path. And Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 18 gives such a beautiful description of this. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. Okay. So, because of ignorance, the hardness of heart happens. And so, are we born with this hardness of heart? Or, you know, is it growing in us? And, you know, I've looked at, the other day I saw a joke of this one, this bear getting into the pub, to the bar. And he went to the barman and he said, give me a whiskey and Coke. And so the barman said, why the big paws? And he said, I'm not sure, I was born with them. Okay, some of you must just get it this morning. strange how we sometimes think that we are condemned and that there's no hope for us and there's no ways that we can overcome sin. And I can tell you that this first person, the one that finds themselves, you know, along the way path, finds the heart ground, the fact that it cannot penetrate because the heart became so hard that it cannot receive. In many areas of our lives, and I want to say to you this morning, it's don't think about another person. I want to say it again. Some areas of our hearts, we became so hard of in heart that we actually don't allow the Holy Spirit to start to work in us. Why not? Because of sin in our lives. Because we got so used to sin that it became so part of our lives that there's a hardness that we cannot get rid of. I remember this girl that I ministered to in youth years ago. I was still very young pastor as well, and she said to me, "Yes, Pastor, I don't mind the sinning because I've got the opportunity to always just ask God for forgiveness and then I can go on with my life." My response to her was the fact that she already got so hard in heart that she doesn't even see the effect of sin in her life and how it takes her away from God. And this is the issue with us. We get so used to the things that we are doing wrong and the things that we compromise on. And I'm talking about anything from, you know, that small lie that you're telling the person when they get to the door, even the reason why you did not get to the door, to, you know, the lie at work, you know, doing sin by not doing your work and doing something else. We compromise so much and we get so used to the worldly norms that we, at the end, desensitize ourselves to the truth that God wants to bring. And you know what happens? Over time, our hearts become so hard that we cannot hear the word of God for what it is. It's got no effect on our lives anymore because we hear it. And because of the distance between us and God, we can't allow the full work of God's Spirit to operate in us. Hebrews 3 verse 13. "But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And so we see that many of us are sitting in church and we are sitting in, you know, even in Christian circles, and we find ourselves so far away from the truth of God setting us free and transforming our lives. And the Bible is not even as powerful as it should be, because we don't have the fear of God in our lives. And so that person loves sin so much that they can't receive the truth. Satan steals when our hearts are hardened. It snatches away the truth of God in our lives. We don't even hear it. And so the devil can steal from us that he can kill and destroy. While we are in the safety of the good soil and a soft heart that God can penetrate and speak into our lives, we can be also free and protected in God. The second one is the rocky and shallow ground. Verse 5. It starts to grow in the person's life, and then it hits the rock, and it starts off with a, you know, amazing fruit in a person's life. And as soon as, you know, life happens, trouble comes, persecution, or you know, even any testing comes in their lives, they start to wither away. And this happens in our lives because sometimes we find ourselves at a place where, you know, trouble and persecution brings us to a reality check about how deep our roots really are in God. And we find ourselves in the midst of a situation where,
you know, you and I must be honest with ourselves that it's too difficult to serve God. And so you see many people receiving Christ, and they start very well, and then they realize how difficult it is. You know, I've seen it through the years in how you lose people that suddenly discover that it's not just, you know, a blessing to serve God. It's hard work. There's perseverance that's needed. And in the long run, there's fruit and there's amazing things happening in your life. But until you get there, it means that you must grind in and really, you know, seek God in everything that you do. And because you're not rooted in God, you find yourself in such a shallow place that that the enemy can come and take and wither away the fruit that God wants to bring into your life. And then thirdly, that of among the thorns, double-minded hearer, the double-mindedness that strikes us, where we hear and the worries of life choke us. And so you see people, you know, connecting with God, and they're excited about God, and they're excited about the things that God brings into their lives, but soon discovers that they also love the world as much. That the things of the world is so appealing, and normally, you know, the Bible even mentioned it here, is that the riches of the world and the enticements of the nice things of the world start to overpower them so much that they find it difficult to stay focused. And then they become double-minded, and the enemy come and, you know, take away that which God has brought into their lives. Now, I remember years ago I had such a friend that I walked the road with, and I might have mentioned it in the past, but my friend, let me call him David today just for the sake of, you know, protecting his name, but he will even laugh at it today if he listens to this. I remember we were walking a discipleship route, and every time that we made inroads and we saw amazing things happen in his life, he would start to wither away just or become double-minded just because of worldly things. You know, it's amazing how he would be on such a high in the mornings at 6, we would go and walk, and then we would do these prayer walks, and I would speak into his life, and I would see him being dedicated for the Lord. And then the next week we will get together, and, you know, he would talk about what he bought, you know, stuff that he bought in his life. And the one morning I remember we were supposed to go to, at that stage, a town about an hour away from where the church was, to join the guys for a Bible school. Oh, not a Bible school, it was actually a men's morning. The ladies are getting together, but it's one of those men's mornings that we had. And this this morning I got to his house, and, you know, I thought, you know, it'd be amazing if he can just spend some time with other men that can inspire him and speak into his life. And I got there, and he was about probably an hour late. I was sitting in the car, and I was working myself up. And, you know, we were driving then to this event. And as we were driving, because he said to me, "No, don't worry," because he was a car salesman. So every week he had another car, and he always had these nice cars that we could drive with. And he said, "No, we're going to drive with my car." And so I got into the car, and then halfway through I realized, but he was still drunk of the previous night, and he was not keeping to the side of the road that we were supposed to be on. And we got to the tunnel, actually, and at that stage every time he would actually, you know, move to the right hand side of the road, and then he would just, you know, plug it back into the left hand, and you know, we would miss the other cars just by a bit. But he was, you know, almost falling asleep. Now, I was already worked up,
You know, because at this stage, we're already late for this meeting. You know, all of my other friends were on the other side, you know, having a ball. You know, they had a breakfast, and I knew that we were already going to miss the breakfast. So, you know, getting to the talk would be quite interesting. And so, when we were through the tunnel, I said to him, just pull over, okay? I don't mind if there's now going to be trouble, but I'm going to drive this car and we're going to get to the other side, okay? So I released him of this responsibility and we went there. And then the next moment, we got to the place and we were clearly too late for the breakfast, but he was then sitting with me. But now, because we were late, we actually had to sit next to this where the speaker were. And the speaker was addressing, you know, lots of people. And the two of us were sitting there in the front pew now. That, you know, always the only seats that's left is the front seats. You know, the seats that's in the way of a camera, you know, and the seats that that nobody else wants to sit on. And the two of us were sitting there right in front. And then the next moment, he will just fall asleep, but not just sleep. No. He would snore, okay? He would snore so much that the speaker, which is an American speaker at the time, I think he's Dr. Chacha or something like that. He's an American big hotshot, you know, preacher. And he's now preaching his heart out here in front. And this guy is sitting right in front of him. And he's just, you know, experiencing a moment. And all that I'm thinking is, you know, all of my other pastor friends that's also at this event, you know, that's thinking, Hercules, how did you bring this guy to this event, okay? And, you know, we've missed our breakfast. We missed the opportunity to at least make a grand entrance. And, you know, and we were really just building a reputation here that's next to none. And, you know, what I realized with my friend, let's call him David again, you know, is that the love for the world was so much that, you know, even though he had these glimpses of amazing things happening, he would always turn back to his old ways of the world. And it's not as if he was not committed to the gospel. And that's the strange thing. You know, when we had those mornings, I could see the glimpses in his eyes and the excitement of, you know, things are happening in his life. But then, you know, just as soon as he gets there, the same heart's desire to have the things of the world and to be part of what the world, you know, is giving him, made him to stumble. And I find I see it in our lives, you know, it happens the same. Those times where, you know, you are so excited with God, but every time, you know, the worldly things become so important that you forget about Jesus. You forget to put him first. You forget to actually allow him to become such an important part of your life that that he rules in your life. And so, Among the Thorns speaks of, you know, to know that you should not want the riches of the world, but you keep being concerned of wealth and stuff and what you don't have. And so, you know, you want more money, even if it separates you from God's plan. But it stifles because the world, you know, grew with the plan of God in your life. And it creates the kind of bad soil that that hinders you to come to the fullness. And you know what? It's strange how, you know, you walk a road with people. And I mean, I'm not excusing myself here this morning. I know that, you know, there's stuff that I work through with God as well. So I'm, you know, I'm not free of sin. There's many things that I work with God as well. So please listen me out. The challenge that we have is that, you know, when we walk a road, it's that lottery sign. Strange how that thing, you know, whenever you need money, how that becomes enticing. Okay. Or that porn site. Or, you know, the thing that catches your eye is the thing that you know that will distract you from the promises of God in your life. And this is what happens when we allow the world to become more important than Jesus. The only way that we can get this right is to focus on Him and putting Him first. And so the last part is the one of the good soil, verse 23, and it speaks of the one that hears and produces fruit. So it does not really explain to us how do you get it right. But one thing that I know is that this verse explains to us that it's not the same than the other soil that that is produced in the other cases. Which means that other than the other soil, the good soil produce much fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Now the first thing that I want to say to you this morning is different people produce different amounts of fruit. Don't compare yourself with somebody that produces 100. Know that for some of us, for the rest of our lives, we will just produce 30. That doesn't mean you can't produce 100. But just be satisfied in what God is doing in your life and the kind of fruit that He's multiplying. Because the blessing of being in good soil means that you are producing fruit. The fact that whenever the word starts to penetrate you and start to transform you, you see things happening. If not, it means that you must go back to the drawing board to ask God, God, where's the hindrance? Am I on rocky places? Am I on hard ground here? God, or am I even at a place of being among the thorns? Because God, I want to be very close to You and I want to see fruit in my life multiplying. But for the one that experienced the good soil and the preparedness of allowing the good soil, the opposite is true. Which means a soft heart. One that is pliable, that is allowing the Holy Spirit to convict and to repent. And not even to defend whatever other people accuse you of. Because your heart is soft enough to admit that you know how you stand before God. The kind of soft heart that allows you not to be bitter and angry toward other people, but actually embracing the will of God in your life. But also, the one that does not allow the enemy to stifle your growth by putting worldly things in your life. But rather to focus on God and what He's doing in your life and allow Him to fulfill the full and complete work that He has started in you. And then also the fact that you and I, you know, get to a place of deep-rootedness whenever the soil is healthy. Because our deep-rootedness is our trust and focus on God and what He wants to do in and through our lives. I want to say to you this morning, there's no way that you will have good soil in your life if there's not a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. There's no ways that you will be able to see 30, 60, or 100-fold in your life if you are not willing to work together with the Holy Spirit and start to do whatever the Word says in your life. You can see all the miracles of Jesus and you can read all the truths and still be a hearer, but not one who does the work of God in your life. The seed of God is incorruptible, which means that it will always have the potential to germinate and become the most beautiful tree. Because wherever God speaks, multiplication happens. If it's not happening, you need to get back to the realization that some things must be removed in order to get to the fullness of what God wants in your life. And so the beauty of it is that you and I cannot blame God for the things that's not happening in our lives, because His truth is incorruptible. And it has 100% proving record that it will fulfill that which it came to fulfill in our lives. But unless we allow the soil to be cultivated, to be plowed, to be worked at in our lives, we will not be able to see the kind of fruit happening in us. And so, I want to just say that it will take root and multiply fruit if it's in depth, trusting God, soft and determined to fulfill the work of God. You can see it in their eyes when they start to surrender. It's amazing when people start to cultivate the kind of good soil in their lives, that the Holy Spirit is at work and they are humble enough to recognize that they are not, they don't have everything together, that the lights go on. You can see it in their eyes. But you can even hear it at their grave. It's amazing to listen to somebody, you know, and through the years I've been so blessed to do a lot of funerals, and I don't want to say it today because I hate doing funerals. That's one part of my job that I actually don't like at all. But I've been fortunate to do it because it's like a sweet fragrance to God when a person had a life of commitment to God where the soil was good. And it's strange how the community will compete with that person and have everything to say about that person until it gets to the grave. Until it gets to the place where somebody must testify about that person's life. A person with good soil in their lives will always inspire others to speak out when it gets to that point. And I want to just say to you this morning, the blessing of good soil in our lives is the fact that you and I can't do anything when we're dead. But one thing that we do know is God is cultivating fruit in our lives all the time while we are alive, so that we can testify and experience this good and blessed fragrance of Christ to happen through us. And so, in conclusion, I want to just leave a few points with you, and hopefully this is going to stir some conversation as well in little groups now. The first one is, don't categorize others. See where bad soil crept into your own life. It's strange. Always when you preach about this thing, you and I start to think about other people and the fruit that's happening in their lives. And we forget about the examination that must happen within ourselves. Secondly, the word only gets fruitful when there is cooperation. Which means that you cannot just be a hearer. You must become a doer. You must engage and you must trust God to change things. There's no ways that things are just going to happen. You will need to step out of your boat and start to trust God to cultivate these things in you. And it's hard work. Okay? You know, the challenge for you is, if you want deep-rooted, a relationship with Christ, it's going to cost you. You will have to delve deep when times are very difficult. When life happens, when difficult things in life oppose the perfect work of God. When the enemy is out to snatch and to steal and destroy every time that we walk out of this door. Where the enemy starts to steal and destroy and also even engineer obstacles in our path to withhold us from the promises of God and the truth of God to set us free. And so the third thing is, don't blame God for what happens in your life. His seed is pure, incorruptible. We can't blame God because He's perfect. And I've tried this in the past, and it doesn't work. Every time I stand before God and I realize that I'm the stupid one. So let me save you some time and money and resources here. Start to examine yourself and repent before God for where you are falling short. Start to not blame others for what's not happening in your life, and to blame God for what's not happening in your life. Become humble and just admit that, God, I don't know if you're going to give me 30, 60, or 100-fold, but I'm going to be faithful with what you give me. And God, I know that your complete work within me will be established. Keep all areas of your life pliable. Stay humble and repentant and stop defending yourself. It is a sign of hardness. Okay? It's always strange. You can pick it up so easily when a person has a hard heart. Is they always defend themselves in everything. If you start to speak to them, they start to immediately defend. Guys, the only place where we can allow the full work of the Word happening in our lives is to be pliable, to be soft at heart, to allow the full work of the Spirit to happen. Number five, you are protected and prepared for multiplication if you can yield to God to plow the soil of your heart. You are guaranteed the multiplication if you find yourself in the place of good soil. And so, number six, different people produce different kinds of fruit. I've said it. Just keep your soil pure and yield to God's fruit in your life 30, 60, or 100-fold. Where are we now? Seven. Are you still awake? Don't allow the enemy to steal, stifle, or make you fall. Keep your heart pure. Okay, remember what I said. If he can steal from you, he can also destroy. The only way that he can steal from your life, the Word of God, is when you allow him to. Okay? Mm. Don't allow that. Keep your heart pure. Stop bitterness and angry resentments to rule your life. Allow your heart to be soft, to be deep-rooted in Christ. And then, allow honest, confrontational conversations with friends to know the state of your heart. You know, one of the things that will allow us to have that deep-rooted seed happening in our lives is if we can get trusted friends that we can speak to and be honest with. And let that transparency, you know, bring us to a place of deep-rootedness in Christ. And then the last one. If the fruit in your life is not showing, ask God to reveal to you which area of your life is not surrendered yet. And it's tough. It's tough. You know? To go back to God, to the drawing board, and to say, God, I want this area of my life to flourish. Show me so that I can see your full work in my life. Let's stand this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. And our heart's desire is, Father God, to see fruit germinate because of the seed that you've sown in us. That the word, the truth, the acknowledgement of your presence in our lives, Father God, will produce the kind of fruit, Father, that will be a sweet fragrance to people around us. And this morning we surrender. We come to you, Father, with an expectation to see your will being done in us. And we know that it's going to cost us. And we almost this morning, Father God, fragile in our commitment because we know that it costs us whenever we engage with you, Father God, in these areas of our lives. But Father, we want good soil. We want all areas of our lives to thrive and to carry the kind of fruit, Father God, that is evident for people to see. We love you, Jesus. And we know that you are the one who engineers our lives. That the enemy is not in control of our lives. And he cannot snatch away from us while we are connected to you. And this morning, Father God, we ask you to come and meet each one of us. Father, at a very special place. This morning, I want you to just reflect on your own life and where you stand with God. I don't want us to leave this place without just at least be honest with God, be transparent. He knows our hearts. No one can read your heart but God. But you know what? He doesn't expose us because he loves us. He allows us to come to the fore and to acknowledge it before him. So God, I pray this morning for each one of us that struggle, Father, with hardness of heart. Father God, because of what feet has, Father God, trampled on us through the years, being through the mill and many people breaking us down even, Father God, our hearts became so hard that we even allow sin and justify sin to rule us. And this morning we want to lay it down. Oh God, we don't want these things in our lives. I pray now for the Holy Spirit to minister to everyone in this place. Hardness of heart, you will soften. You will heal to the fruit of Christ. You will yield to the truth of the seed of Christ in you. Some of you might be here this morning and you find yourself at the place of just the rocky areas. You get excited about God, and whenever the preacher, you know, speaks into your life, or a friend inspires you, or you listen to a sermon, things are going very well, and you get very excited. And you've got glimpses in your life of the amazing blessing of God happening in and through your life. But every time that you reach that point and that glimpse of eternity, then the enemy comes and makes you stumble. And this morning I wanna trust that you're going to be deep-rooted in Christ, to find yourself at a place where Christ can truly start to thrive in your life. And this is time spending with God, so please focus on God at this moment. Some of us find ourselves at a place where, you know, there's even good soil. And there's glimpses of amazing things happening. And you've become so arrogant even in thriving and seeing the blessings of God over your life that that very same thing has become your idol. The success in life, the focus of the prize rather than the one that gives the prize. maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself at a place where you must be honest with yourself about even the worldly thing.
That has become so important that it's dividing your attention. It's taking you away from Christ's promises in your life. Every time that you get to that place of breakthrough, you start to, go off on a tangent of